Now this time I would ask Scott Gilbert, would you put your hands together for Scott?
All right, well, hello, everyone. So my name's Scott Gilbert. Thank you for the invitation to be here. I met your pastor a couple of weeks ago, and we just hit it off like kindred spirits. And, you know, you'll hear a little bit about me, but you know what? I'm a man of many hats. I'm going to encourage you today. My goal today is to equip you that whatever you have seen before, the Lord has more for you because he is a creative God. And what you've seen before is not what it was. There is always going to be more. So the goal today is that every one of us is going to level up just a little bit, probably in ways you don't expect, because that's what seems to make him really, really happy. And the other thing is, it has nothing to do with who you think you are. We're going to talk about who he says you are. And it seems to make the Lord really, really happy not to use the brightest and the best, but to use the regular people. And I'm here today to tell you that I am the regularist of the regular, all right? There is nothing unique in me. I'm just, but I know I'm a son, and I know I'm dearly loved. And out of that is the wellspring of everything the Lord's going to do. So let's pray, and then we'll just get into it. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I call forth the blessings of heaven upon this church. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to ask for your presence because you're already here. You say, Lord, that it makes you really happy to live in flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. I thank you, Lord, that your presence is here, and I just call forth more of you, Lord, more of your presence. Fill us now. I thank you, Lord, to open our ears that we would hear the word of God spoken in truth, and the truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow, you guys got great worship. This is excellent. Hey, I just, sidebar, is your name Morgan? Is that it? Morgan, I just feel like I heard the Lord say while you were up here, just to encourage you, I feel like I heard the Lord say that he's given you a rod of iron in your back. I don't know if you have, we all got stresses. Everybody's got our stuff. But I feel like I heard the Lord say that he's putting a rod that will make you a strong pillar. He's put you as a pillar in the temple. He's giving you the wisdom and authority of the Father. Now, he's giving you more of the Father's heart. Now, that sounds awesome. You're like, yes, Lord, I want more of your heart. Do you? Because that means he's going to let you be able to see people the way he sees them, and you're going to be broken. Your heart is going to be broken the way his heart is broken. There's a reason he gave you all these girls. I love that prophecy about Philip's four daughters. And what I felt like I heard, Morgan, is that iron of strength in you is love. Your girls are going to know what real love is. Your girls are going to see from their father what real love is, and they're not going to take a counterfeit when the world tells them, oh, you're so beautiful, you should do this. Like, my dad's been telling me that since I was old enough to listen. What else do you have? But I feel like the Lord is anointing you with his heart to be able to speak life and love, and specifically your daughters are going to know what real love is. They're not going to take a counterfeit. Okay? So, yeah. So I've been, you know, I was raised in the church. I've followed the Lord since I was a little boy. When I was, like 5-6 years old, I remember laying in my bed and talking to the Lord, talking to Jesus the way I talk to my stuffed animals. And, the cool thing was, he talked back. I knew it. I knew his voice. I felt it. I didn't hear it, but I knew it. There was a give and take. And the Lord has done that with me my whole life. I came to the Lord in fullness when I was about 13, 14 years old. And at that time, we were raised in the Catholic Church. I was a Catholic kid, did all the stuff. And, there was a lot of positive in that, a lot of beauty in that. I had a healthy respect for the Lord. I had a healthy understanding of that he's God and I'm not. That was actually really good. But when I was about 13-ish years old, I got into what they called the Catholic Charismatic Movement, which is Pentecostalism hits the Catholic Church. And they actually started it back in the early 20th century, but whatever the case, I'm in this service, this, you know, healing mass, and I'm down on my knees. And see, the thing was, nobody ever led me to the Lord. I never heard the sinner's prayer. Nobody, I didn't watch the 700 Club. I'm a kid, man. I didn't watch that stuff. Nobody ever told me all the elements of what we call the sinner's prayer. But on my knees that day, the Holy Spirit himself led me through all of the tenets. Father, I know I can't do this on my own. I know you made me for more than this. I believe, Lord, that I have a sin problem and you paid for it. I believe that you're God. And I thank you, Lord, to pay for my sin, the great exchange. And I receive all your righteousness. Come into me, make me the man you created me to be, and I'll serve you. Something like that. And as I prayed that in my own heart, something that I now describe as like warm oil came down over my head, down my ears, onto my shoulders. If it happened today, I'd think I was having an aneurysm. And and it was off-putting. It was like, what's going on? It wasn't scary, but it was different. I didn't expect that. It was warm. It was comforting, but it was also... And I know now, as I've gotten through more of life, I know the Lord marked me that day. That is the priestly blessing of the Old Covenant. That's the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron. Oil coming down over his head, down his beard, and it is the priestly blessing. I didn't know what it was for. Now I know what it's for. Because over the years, the Lord has co-labored with me in the coolest ways to encourage and lift other people from where they are to new levels. That's what we're going to do today. It's going to be fun. But nobody taught me what it looked like to be transformed and to live in the righteousness of God. Nothing against the churches that I went to. I'm ordained by the Baptist. I've ministered and been in almost every varietal. I've been all the way from the high Catholic ones to the hand in the air Pentecostal raising the dead side and everywhere in the middle. And I'm not quite sure where I fall, but I can kind of play on all the fields. All right. So the Lord has just been really good to me. Nothing against the churches that I was in. They just didn't preach what I'm about to share with you and what I saw when I opened my Bible. When I was alone in my bedroom in the Word, I saw that there was so much purpose in the Scriptures. So much more than just going to heaven when I die. There is a life to live in the Spirit of God. You can walk in the light as He is in the light. There's transformation of life available. It says in Romans, I found this in my Bible, it says in Romans chapter 12, it's verse 2, that we should no longer be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the... Right? Transformed by what? By discipline? By hard work? No. By striving? By the renewing of the mind. So I'm like, okay, I found that there's no transformation without the renewing of the mind. It has nothing to do with willpower, discipline, effort, all those things. If your mind is not renewed, you'll not live in the newness of mind. You'll live in the old understanding of yourself. No matter how hard you try, you'll slip back into old habits. The goal is the renewing of the mind through the washing of the Word. And I've realized that when I got truly saved, I am a new creation. The old things pass away. And behold, all things become new. That I put off the old man and all of his deeds, and I put on this new man. And who is he? He's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. I found that in my Bible too. That's Colossians 3, verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So as I was preparing for this, Pastor Ricardo and I met together, and I really like when I come into churches to carry the ball the direction the pastor has already set up. I don't want to go a different direction. I want to be like, you know, okay, man, where are we going? What do you got going on already? And how can I encourage? And I know you've been talking about prayer, right? And I know, did you guys talk about anxiety and crushing fear? All right, so we're going to come around to that also. All right, it's going to be fun. So just my transition from all this, guys, I've been teaching the Bible for 30 years, maybe more, 30 years, full-time Christian service, leading people to the Lord, trying to do it all right, right? Husband of one wife, love my kids, tithe, pray fast. I feel bad when I speed. Right? Try to do it all right. My friend Aaron is shaking your head. It's like, I don't think you do. I've ridden with you. I don't think you do. Oh, okay. Yeah. My wife feels bad when I speak. All right. So sometimes we think that the goal is going to heaven. This is what the church taught me. The goal is going to heaven. Did you say the prayer? You got to say the prayer. Did you say the prayer? Okay, good. Now be better. That's what I got. And I did that. And that is true. There is absolute truth in that. Jesus, John chapter 3, with Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. Absolutely true. We call that the gospel of salvation. How many times did Jesus preach the gospel of salvation in the scriptures? One time. John chapter 3. It's real. It's true. You must be born again. You must see your need for the Savior. You must see what he did for you. And then in faith, you come and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I believe you are who you said you are. Fill me with your presence. Not that I'll go to heaven when I die, though, but that will get heaven into me right now. And then I go about doing good, just like Jesus did. And my life becomes a testimony of Emmanuel, God with us, me pouring him out on the world everywhere I go every day and giving the devil a bad day. That's what I'm about. So some of you that know me, I came to Virginia Beach in 1996 to go to law school at Regent University, which I did, 96 to 99, very rigorous. And when you enroll in law school, they tell you, you're going to study like crazy. Forget about, you know, going to a movie. You're definitely not going to have a girlfriend. You're probably not going to want to sleep, and you're not going to like to eat because you're going to be so stressed. You really can't do anything but study. And I did that, and it was horrible. It was really bad. See, when I was 12 years old, my parents enrolled me in a small martial arts class. See, it gets quiet at that point. I'll just say the enemy doesn't counterfeit things that aren't valuable. They enrolled me in the small martial arts class that was wonderful for me. It had all the spirituality of Little League, probably less, actually, than Little League. But you know what it taught me? It taught me that as a small, scrawny guy, there was actually more in me than I thought. And I found out that I'm pretty darn good at this thing. And the Lord used that to grow me, to find out that there was more in me, that I could do more. And he turned me into a man of kindness and courtesy. And I wasn't looking out for my own. And I wasn't afraid of bad stuff. I had confidence. I had all the stuff. I had good grades. I had respect for authority. This was wonderful. There's been three things in my life that made me into the man I am today. My parents enrolling me in a little martial arts class, getting my black belt when I was 16. Meeting my wife and committing my life to the Lord in fullness. And you put all those things together, I'm a pretty blessed man. So a lot of the stuff I'm going to teach you today, I'm going to teach you how to fight. I'm going to teach you how to fight. It's not the way you think. But the Lord used all that stuff to really engender in me an understanding of what does it look like to be a Christian on this planet. And it doesn't mean that I said a prayer to go to heaven when I die, and now I'm just going to hold on, white knuckle this Christian life for the next 60 or 70 years until the great by and by, and it all works out. You know, that makes death my salvation. And I was telling my friend John yesterday, this is going to be kind of inflammatory, what I'm about to say. But if death is your salvation, then how are we different than ISIS? That's an end-of-the-world death cult from Islam. Death's their salvation. You know what they do. How are we different if we say the goal is say the prayer to go to heaven when I die, and then it's all going to work out in the great by and by? Death became my salvation. I know we don't really think that, really believe that, but is there more? Could there be more? I'm telling you, there's absolutely more. The goal is to get heaven into you right now, and then what does that look like on a moment-by-moment, day-to-day basis? That's what we're going to talk about. What would it be like if your life every week, every couple of weeks, was normalized, was punctuated, this was your normal life, of seeing the lost saved in the Home Depot parking lot, of seeing the tormented released, demonic manifestations leap out of people in the UPS store or Starbucks. The sick healed and the dead raised. I've seen all those things. It's my normal life. And I'm not special. Nothing special. But I know who I am. And when you get a revelation, like the Lord did with me, of who you are, you're going to do the exact same things. And it's going to be really fun and really thrilling. So sometimes we think the gospel is going to heaven when I die, but the goal I'm looking at in the scriptures correctly, even in Jesus' language, was getting back to the Father. The goal of the cross is union with Him, that I become one with Him again, that His nature is in me, so His nature can come out of me again. That's why all things are new. Because I was born into Adam. Here's a quick presentation of the gospel. I was born into Adam. Adam, as a man, was separated from God. He was void of his nature because of sin, right? Before that, he wasn't. He walked with God in the cool of the garden. They were one. God, you know, the image of God was on Adam, but then he lost it all, right? In fact, what I believe happened is the enemy didn't take anything from him. Adam freely gave it away. Adam, it's almost like, good analogy, don't ever do this. You love your kid, they turn 16, you buy him a new car. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a bad idea, right? You buy him a new car. I love you so much. Here's this new car. It's great. Your 16-year-old then goes and gives that car away to a murderous drug dealer who uses it to do horrible things and, you know, shoot undercover cops and deal drugs. Think of bad stuff. Can you, as the father, go and take the car back? Not if you fully gave full title everything you own. Not if you don't have any strings attached. And that's what the Lord did with us. The Father gave us, our oldest ancestors, dominion over this planet. It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 18. Dominion mandate. I give you authority over everything, the creeping things and the fish and the birds and all that stuff. And the goal was that we would be absent landlords as the Father with a little L Lord, right? He's the big L. We would be on this planet as God. He's in us. And then Adam would work and push back the garden until the garden took over the whole earth. That was the plan. Well, that lasted only three chapters, because what did our oldest ancestor do? He gave that away to the arch enemy, and now the servant became the master. The master became the slave. Everything got flipped. But Jesus came into another garden, to another tree, to restore all things. Not just restore me, although he did that. He restored all things, which means when I get a vision of the gospel of what it really means, I can be back in the garden as if I never ate the apple. I change nature. I am now a new creation. The old has gone. For now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Okay, we say yes. I understand. Do I believe it? And does that belief come out in my actions? You know, for it says, for one day you eat the tree, that day you'll surely die. But Adam didn't fall over dead. He didn't fall over dead. I don't know. So there must be talking about something else. What kind of death was it? Well, we say it was spiritual death. Well, what does that mean? That just sounds spiritual. What was lost was the image. The image of God went. You know, 10 minutes ago, Adam is connected with God completely. He looks like God. He's clothed in God. He's clothed in light. And now, and what was he made for? What was the point of that? I believe, and this is what changed my life, was that Adam was created to be love. God is love. When he is in me, the presence of God looks like love. If there is a superpower, it's love. If there's a particle that carries the anointing, it's love. The goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. So Adam was originally created to be love. But after the fall, he now needs love. And he goes about his life looking for ways to fill the vacancy. And we fill it with all kinds of things, do we not? To need love. I need you to tell me I'm great. You know, I mean, it's very common in many, many churches that I serve because people tell me, oh, thank you, we needed you so bad. Thank you so much. Yeah, I feel kind of good about myself now. They need me. You know, I mean, we all do this. Because that's the fall. That's what needs to be flipped, and that's what needs to be redeemed and born again. We are not created to need love. We're created to be love. Imagine, what would your life look like if everybody said, oh my gosh, you know her? Wow. Every time I'm around her, I just feel love so much pouring out of her. Have you looked in his eyes? I think they change because they're so beautiful. There's so much love because the eyes are the lamp of the body, and he's so filled with love. It's amazing. Have you been around him? Wouldn't that be cool if that's what people said about Christians? That's what I want them to say about me, right? So if the goal of our instruction is love, what I learned was, nobody ever taught me this in church. Nobody ever said, the point of all of this is that I'm going to become a new man. I'm going to put on love like a garment, it says in Colossians. It's an external thing that I put on. I'm not feeling very loving right now. I'm actually kind of have a bit of an attitude. I had an argument with my wife on the way to work, and I feel a little surly. But you know what, Lord? You say that I'm made to be loved. So, Lord, okay, thank you. I'm just going to put on love like a garment right now. Thank you, Lord, to fill me with your presence, because it's not about me, it's about you. And I go about my life. And when I renew my mind that way, it takes me out of my own stuff and it focuses me more on what he's doing. And then I become a conduit of his goodness, conduit of his mercy everywhere I go. So God doesn't do love, he is love. I got a lot of stuff here and I got to talk fast. It shook me when I read that, because if I didn't have love, it says I didn't have anything. This is 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, it didn't say if I prayed the sinner's prayer, everything would be restored. It didn't say if I go to church, I had it. It didn't say if I tithed, if I prayed more, I had it. It said if I didn't have love, I was completely bankrupt. It actually went on to say that I could have all knowledge, understand all mysteries. I could have faith to move every mountain. Think about that. Think about that. So imagine a person that understands all mysteries, that has faith to move every mountain. That means every single person they pray for gets healed every single time, just like when Jesus was here. Imagine that person. That is a human icon next to only Jesus on this planet. That is the keynote speaker of every conference. And he says, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Even that guy is completely bankrupt. I don't know if I'm going to get to that slide, guys. You can leave it up there because it's, you know, pretty and blue and matches y'all's color scheme. But But if I didn't have love, I was nothing. Becoming love is the whole point. So this Christian life isn't about being used by God. It's about being restored to his image. And if you're back in his image, you will manifest him. The goal is to become love. Isn't that something? To know the love of Christ is to be filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians chapter 3. You don't find your identity through how God is using you. You find your identity by who you have become in him. Then I read this, John, 1 John, little letters of John. You know, if we were to go around and we were to ask people in here, what was the point? Why did Jesus come? What was it all about? And somebody would say, save us from our sins. He'd be right. To reveal the Father, they'd be right. To show us the right way to live, to model the Christian life, they'd be right. All of these things, right? To crush Satan, cool. But if we got John, the Apostle John, the guy who called himself the apostle who Jesus loved, he kind of knew he had good identity. If we got him and we said, hey, John, you were like Jesus' best friend. What was it all about? all this? What was the point? John says, for this reason the Son of God was revealed, to destroy the works of the evil one. I can get behind that. That is way cooler to me than just say the prayer and hang in there and do the best you can. Feel bad when you speed. Don't cheat on your taxes. To destroy the works. Well, how do I do that? 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Most Christians in their heart don't even believe that that's possible. They say, that's him. This is me. That was me. I would read the scriptures. I know my Bible. I would read the scriptures, and I would get to all the supernatural stuff. I would get to the miracles. Sight to the blind, raising the dead, all of it. And I read it, and it was cool, but you know what? I kind of bounced over it. You know why? Because I said, well, that's Jesus. Of course. I believe it. I believe he raised the dead. I believe all of it. But I watch it kind of like the way we watch the X Games on YouTube. Nobody says, I kind of want to do that. Nobody says, I want to jump a bike over the Grand Canyon. But I kind of want to watch the guy try. Nope, that's a little Evel Knievel here, you know. If anybody remembers the 70s, I'm dating myself. It's a little bit like that. I would read the scriptures and I would say, well, of course, that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus, therefore, I should have no expectation of those things in my life. How blasphemous is it to say anyway that what Jesus did, I'll do? That seems really wrong. But then I read Philippians chapter 2, and it says, although he was in very nature God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking being found in human likeness as a man, humbled in his appearance. Jesus, although he is 100% God, hear me, he is 100% God, always was, always will be 100% God, but also 100% man. I don't get it either. Nobody does. But he is somehow 100 and 100 simultaneously. And what if everything Jesus came to do, he did not to show us his godlike superpowers, but to show us what a man in perfect relationship with God can do? What if the goal of everything Jesus did was not to show us what he could do, but to show us what we would do? So what if that should be my expectation of my daily life? What do I see Jesus doing? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's my normal life now, guys. It's my normal week. Give you a testimony or two. But again, it's not me. I'm not special. It's him in me. Because I believe it. I really believe. Wait, Lord, you said the very spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in me. Okay, I'm just audacious enough to go after it. Probably because of all the years of getting kicked in the head. I'm not really afraid of a lot of stuff, right? I've been thrown on my face so many times, I'll just get back up. Thank you. Could you do? Thank you. And then, bam, they do it. Thank you. Can you do it again? You know? So there's this audacity that the Lord created in me from 40 years of martial arts where I'll just try it. And I did. So here's what changed my life. I get this revelation. I was actually away for a weekend for a conference, and I come home, and it's like this time of the year. It's like, oh, wow. It was like Father's Day. 6 years ago. 2018. I had been in Grand Rapids, Michigan, doing some ministry stuff there, and I come home. I've been gone for 4 days. I'm tired, you know, living in a hotel, not eating right, making bad food choices, my wife says. And she's getting up at 7:30 in the morning on a Monday to go do an environmental service project. So my wife is super active in, like, local environmental stuff. It's beautiful. She's saving the bay one oyster at a time. That's awesome. I generally have a lot to do. I have, you know, a couple of businesses. I got a lot of stuff going on. And honestly, most of those people are super far from God and want to tell you about it. And I don't really have time for that. So I don't usually go to a lot of the stuff she does. But I knew this certain morning, 6 years ago, I guess. Yeah, wow. She was going to reforest an oyster reef.
Well, what is that? Oh, we're going to haul sand from up there down to the water, and hey, don't get snake bit, and it's, you know, June, so it's 90 degrees, and it makes up for that by being 100% humidity at 7:30 in the morning. And I woke up that morning, and I felt the Lord say, you should go with her. Somebody needs to be prayed for. I had never prayed for anyone in my life outside of a comfortable environment like here. I had never organically gone up to a stranger and introduced the Lord into a situation and prayed for them. Not one time. I was 46 years old at the time. Been in the Lord for ever, 30-some years. But the Lord just hit me in the heart with this. So I go with her, and they're doing all this stuff. So there's this head lady, and there's probably about 40 people that are there to work, to do the prison labor, I called it. Because it was very much like prison labor, hauling heavy stuff and sand and muck and dirt. Don't get snake bit. And by the way, they're bloodthirsty marsh flies. And thank you. The head lady is explaining to everybody what we're going to do. And she's telling them. Now, I've seen this woman before. We're not friends, but my wife, you know, she tells me about her. She's a nice lady. She's, you know, single, I'd say mid-50s. And she's a very odd anomaly of America. In that she is a spiritual blank slate. Lynn told me about this. She's like, yeah, this lady was raised in like New England, and she just has no faith background at all. And Lynn, my wife, has been talking to this woman about the love of a good father. Okay. So she's just like blank slate. She's like, Lynn, tell me stuff. I don't know anything about God at all. There are people like that. Not really in my world, but there are people in the real world, right? So anyway, she's telling us what we're going to do, and she I noticed she's walking very robotically, very stiff. And there's about 40, 50 people gathered around, tight, like verbal, you know, probably about as far as Pastor Ricardo and I are apart. That's the circle, and we're all kind of standing there listening. She's giving the deal. And she says at the end, she says, and guys, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to help today because I was working on my boat this weekend. I pulled a muscle, pinched a nerve. I felt electricity go down one side. I can't move. I'm a little scared, and I'm really sorry I won't be able to help. And I'm like, that's why I'm here. So I looked at my wife. She looked at me and promptly said, I'll go sign us in. And she peaced out and left me there. She'd left me there with this, go fly your freak flag, Scott. I'm going to go sign us in. Look on her face. No, that really happened. So we kind of the lady finishes. Her name's Pam. She finishes, and I walk up to her. She's like, okay, da-da-da-da, break. And I walked up to her. I had never done this before in my life. And I looked her in the eye, and I said, Pam, if you let me pray for you, Jesus is going to completely heal you right now. Yeah. Yeah, I've learned in the 21st century, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, especially in the Western world. You want to see faith, it's going to be uncomfortable. I see very few people healed in the church. Well, I do see them healed in church, but I see way more healed out there in the world. So I walked up to her and I said, if you let me pray for you, Jesus is going to completely heal you right now. I had never done this in my life, not one time. And she says, okay. Yeah. And, you know, male, female issues. I knew it was her face or something. So I didn't want to touch her because it's just kind of, right? It's weird. So I put my hand, I kind of hover like right here. I say a quick prayer. It sounds something like this. Father, I thank you for Holy Spirit presence and healing power. And right now, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I command all pain go, body be healed right now in Jesus' name. That was the end of it. And she freaks. She starts crying behind her glasses. She's turning her head. She couldn't do any of that before. She says, what's happening? What's happening? I said, I don't know, Pam. What's happening? Is your pain gone? And she says, no, there's still a little bit right here. She grabs my hand, sticks it on her face. I said, okay, I'll pray again. I prayed one more time, short, sweet. Father, I thank you on the authority of Jesus Christ. Any spirit of affliction, get out. Let her go right now. Body be healed. All pain go. Thank you, Lord, for full restoration on the authority of Jesus Christ. And she goes bananas. She is weeping. She is moving. She's like, you're magic. You're magical. You have magic beans in your pocket. Can you tell she has no grid for this? I didn't either. And I said, no, Pam, that's just Jesus showing up, letting you know that he loves you and is in hot pursuit of your heart. And I went back to hauling sand because I didn't have a grid for this either. Lord's taught me a ton since then. And that lady spent the rest of the day overhand throwing oysters in the river and telling all these super far from God people, did you hear that I got healed? Did you hear that I got healed? Did you hear that I got healed? And I went, oh, how come nobody ever told me this was part of this thing? I never saw it modeled in a way that was attractive. It was always a little hokey and a little weird. And I'm like, stay away from that guy. But when it's in love, it is your superpower. The goal is to become love. We're going to do an activation here in a little while. I'm going to leave you with something where you're actually going to experience this. But when we, you know, the church taught me to kind of live guilty, to live condemned, to live regretful, to live in my past. Where do you think that comes from? Is that the Spirit of God? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That doesn't sound like the Spirit of the Lord. So that's either me or that's where else? There's three options. There's the Spirit of the Lord, there's my own thoughts, or there is my enemy. What if your enemy is projecting onto you what he is feeling? What if he is a strong supernatural force on the order of an archangel like Michael? And what if he projects onto you what he's experiencing? And then as the accuser, he comes in and tells you it's your thoughts, it's your feelings. And as soon as you agree with it, he now has a right to stay. What if those, and I know you just preached on anxiety, what if you don't have an anxiety problem? You're actually very prophetic. What if your spirit is turned up and you are hearing the spiritual overlay of this planet and the God of this world who is blasting out what he's experiencing? Let's talk about what that is. He's completely lost. He has absolutely no hope. He's a withering branch coming to nothing, and there's nothing he can do about it. He wishes he could kill himself, and he can't. Anybody ever felt any of those things? Is everything you feel you? Think about it for a second. Is everything you feel, everything you perceive in this body, in your mind, is it you? I can change how I'm feeling by the music I listen to, by how much water I have. I can change how I feel by how much sleep I had last night. Am I right? We all can do this, right? I can change how I feel by the people I hang around with. So it is not a far reach to say a supernatural enemy that wants to limit the kingdom of God. He's not coming after you. He's coming for the word's sake. He's coming for the kingdom. He wants to shut down the kingdom. Who's the carrier of the kingdom? Don't you know the Spirit of God is in you? You're the carrier of the kingdom on this world. Wouldn't it be a really good tactic to shut you down so that you don't actually carry any kingdom? I mean, you say the prayer to go to heaven, but then after that, you're like, yeah, it's just really tough, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. And Lord, you know, the church taught me to come to him to get my needs met. That's what the church taught me. I don't know about you. The church taught me, you got a sin problem, you don't want to burn, say the prayer. Okay, I'll definitely say your prayer. You know, come for blessings. We come for blessings, full vats and barns. Well, what if that's not God's job because he's already done everything? What if he's already given us everything for faith and godliness because of the cross, because he loved us so much that he put his son on that cross? Because he's mean? Because he you know, he hates his son. He cursed his own son. I can't trust that kind of God. People say this. No, no, no. He didn't curse his son. He cursed sin in the flesh. He cursed sin in the flesh. So he who had no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. I want him to get the fullness for what he paid for. What does it look like? I am a new creation now. My mind is renewed. I am not here for my own because love is patient. Love is kind. Da, da, da. Love doesn't seek its own. What if it's not about you? What if it's not about God fixing your situation? What if he wants us to live above our circumstances so that no matter what happens to us, I can still manifest Jesus. I can still shine. When you live with that renewed mind, you break the chain of, Lord, I said the prayer and my wife still says she wants to leave. My boss says he's going to fire me. My kids still went crazy. But Lord, I'm doing it all right. Do your job. People do it all the time. I do this all over the country, all over the world. People, this is our experience. I did my part. Where are you? And as soon as I don't think he's doing what he should be doing, he goes on trial. And I get a little bit more of an attitude. You know what happens? And I stay away from him. I don't get closer to him because I can't really trust him because, you know, my grandma died. I prayed for her and my grandma still died. So I can't really trust him. That is what the enemy has twisted this thing to be. But what if it's not? I come to him so he fixes my circumstances, but I come to him to be like him. He changes me to be like him in any circumstance. Whatever I'm going through, I can still reflect Jesus. I can still speak love. I can still stand in righteousness no matter what is going on. And the battle of the Christian life, we fight the good fight of faith. The fight is to stand in faith no matter what's going on. Father God, I don't understand this, but I know you love me. And I know that's why you want to know your Bible. Lord, you say that all things work together for good for them that love God. You know I love you, Lord, that are called according to his purpose. And I know you've called me, Lord. I know you. I have a future and a hope. I have seen you move through my whole life. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever this thing is right now, I know that you will turn it around for good because you are just that kind of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for changing my mind so that I see you for how good you are in Jesus' name. This is how you pray while the stuff is hitting the fan and your kids are still going crazy and I don't know how we're going to pay that bill and they keep calling to ask for more money and I don't know and what's going on with my country. If we get caught up in those weeds, there's no kingdom in that because we're just focused on us. The opposite of the kingdom is selfishness. In fact, Jesus said, anyone who would come after me must first deny themselves. We don't preach that very often. You know, the churches I went to said the first thing you got to do is say the prayer. No, no. Jesus said anyone who come after me must first deny themselves. What if it's not about you? Pick up my cross. What does that look like? That sounds terrifying. I don't know if I want to do that, Lord. No, no, no. Pick up my cross means never allowing sin against me to create sin in me. Never allowing offense against me to create offense in me. That while they're nailing him to a tree, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And I want to be like him. So when they nail me to the tree, Lord, when I have done nothing wrong and they nail me to the tree, instead of saying, hey, this, you got the wrong guy. You see what I've done around you? Imagine if Jesus did that. Let's just rewind for a second. This will be fun. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine Jesus gets up early? He's sitting on the Mount of Olives. It's early in the morning. Peter comes out. It's like, oh, hey, Lord, how you doing? Peter, bro, yeah, just don't talk to me right now, bro. Just don't talk to me. I mean, man, you know what? I am doing everything right. I'm doing everything I can. These people don't want me. They chase me around. They just want me to feed their hungry bellies. Remember the 4,000, then the 5,000? They didn't want me. They just want to feed me to feed their hungry bellies, right? And then Jesus goes through this, and hey, Peter, you know, can you just say, hey, Peter, bro, you just got, just give me a second, man. Just give me a second. Give me a second. Oh, Jesus, it's not really like that. Jesus on his way to the cross. grabs a cross, throws it down, says, Father, really? Seriously? We're going to go through with this for these people? Are you kidding me? They don't want us. They just want our good stuff. They just want our blessings. They don't want me. And if you hit me with that stick one more time. I'm completely sinless. I'm healing the sick and bringing sight to the blind. They're calling for Barabbas. He did conspiracy. I raised the dead, and they want to release him? You want to nail me to, I don't think so, you nail me to no tree. We can't even imagine that. It's funny to talk about, and why? Why can't we imagine that? We say, oh, because he's Jesus. No, it's because he's love. God is love. That's what love looks like. So when they're nailing you to a tree and saying all kinds of terrible things about you, rejoice, it says. Wait a second. I thought I was just supposed to like get the vats and barns and more blessings. No, no, no. The goal is transformation, and it's by renewing your mind. All right. Because the law of the Spirit of Christ that is in us has made us free from the law of sin and death. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? I have access to him. This is how I think now. I have access to him. He'll never change. He shall in no way cast me out. His love is unfailing. There's no turning or shifting shadows with him. I'm in. I'll never be out. I'm accepted. I'll never be rejected. He loves me. He remembers my lawless deeds no more. It inspires me to follow him. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Not, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Because in doing what he says, I'm manifesting love into this world, giving the devil a bad day. It inspires me to live the way he's called me to live. Not because I'm trying or striving, but because I'm believing. Now I believe, truly believe, I am right in his sight. I believe I am righteous. I am unveiled. I have access to him. He doesn't see anything about me of where I've been and what I've done. He sees me through where he has been and what he has done. And I'm a son, and I'll always be a son in his eyes. This, guys, is scripture after scripture after scripture. I was walking through my kitchen, and a thought prayer hit my head. This was weird for me, because this does not sound like the prayers that I had prayed up to that time. I'm walking through my kitchen, and this hits my head. Lord, teach me to love the way you do. And it stopped me. Huh. That was different. Because up to this point, all of my prayers had been all of my owies, all of my concerns, all of my stresses, all of my fears, everything that's going on, everything that's causing me issues. And I would come out of prayer a little bit more spun up than when I went in. And the Lord showed me, because I wasn't praying, I was complaining. I called it prayer, but that was a complain fest. And I didn't see the Lord changing much of anything. Didn't change me, didn't change my circumstances, didn't change any of that, because I was complaining. But then my prayers changed. My prayers change because now, instead of how you fix my problem, Lord, I just go back to who the Lord says I am in that situation. And when you change your mind, Spirit of God comes. We are saved by grace through faith. When I speak in faith in that situation, they're doing cutbacks at work, Lord. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills, and if we're going to lose this job, she might leave me, and I'm going to lose the house. All that. Speak in fear. Father, you brought me to this place, and I know that I am in your will, and I believe, Lord, that everywhere I go, you go. You put me where you want me, and if you want me in this job, I'm going to work as if working for you, and if they don't want me there for whatever reason, or they got to shut down, I know, Lord, that you're carrying me. I know you're going to carry me to the next place, and I know you're going to bring men around me to keep my arms up in battle. I thank you, Lord, that you love me that way. I thank you, Lord, there's a future and a hope, and I don't see it, Lord, but that's what you call faith, evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Lord, that you love me that way. While you got your pink slip in your hand. And we're saved by grace through faith. when I elevate, when I extend that faith, a grace comes and lifts it up. And things happen and things change. When I believe I'm righteous, I have access to Him. I won't run from Him. I'll run to Him to do the will of righteousness. And He empowers me. I'm a believer. I really believe this stuff. We've talked about it our whole lives. A lot of you have been sitting in church for decades. My question is, do you believe it? Because a lot of us don't. A lot of us don't really believe it. Because my circumstances have said, yeah, I prayed for that person that I loved and they died. Maybe I can't trust Him. But He says, no. When you believe, when you trust Me, I'm going to remove your mind from that circumstance and give you a new circumstance, a new understanding of things. You're going to rise up. What is this? I am already seated with Christ in heavenly places? I don't get that. How is that? Because when you're in the thing, whatever the thing is, the Lord takes you to where He is, and you have third heaven looking down authority instead of first heaven looking up through all the muck, and He changes your mind. Saw this really starkly. This is fun. Jonah, are you still awake over there? Bah! Surprise. Calling on you. No, you're a great kid. So Jonah is one of my little martial artist students. He's been with me for years, like 4 or 5 years. The family's been there. And couple of months ago, talking to Josh, lovely, lovely family, and he's telling me he's going to need surgery on his shoulder. I'm like, okay, you know, this guy has earned it. He's torn his body up gloriously for Uncle Sam for many, many years, and he's totally jacked up. And so we're talking about what's going on with his shoulders, and I got to have this restore rebuilt, and no cartilage and pain and all that. Can only lift my arms this high. He's sitting down. He's like, I can lift my arms this high. I'm like, how do you feed yourself? And he's like, I can bend my elbow. So I remember that. So he knows me, and I promised the Lord years ago that if you bring it before my radar, I will pray for every single one. I don't want to chase down a limping guy in the Walmart parking lot. I know people that do that. That doesn't feel like love to me. Feels like group attack. But if you bring it to my radar, Lord, I will pray for every single one. And so this is on my radar. So we're talking, and I'm thinking, remember faith is spelled R-I-S-K? I don't have any risk. This is in my place, comfortable, everything's fine. So right around this time, the instructors give the class a water break. And Jonah runs over to get his water bottle. And I'm like, ha, I know what to do. I said, hey, Jonah, you love your dad, right? He says, yeah. I said, I think the Lord wants to heal his shoulder, but I think He wants to do it with you. And Jonah's like, what does that mean? He could hear the wheels turning. And I said, no, I'll help you. I'll say the words, but you get your heart in a position of prayer because you love your dad, and love is the superpower, and I think the Lord is going to touch your dad right now. But I'll just say the words, but you say the prayer. So get yourself in a position of prayer. I'll lead you through it, okay? So we did that. And I got about 15, 20 other kids that are kind of milling around. And I'm like, I think I need more risk. So I said, hey, guys, you want to see Jesus do a miracle? Super nerve-wracking. They come over and they're like, maybe. We don't know what we're getting into, right? These are like 8 to 12-year-olds. So I lead Jonah to pray for his dad. Lay hands on. It's quick. You don't get points for extra words. Right? It's you extend faith. You extend it, right? And I lead Jonah. I'm like, okay, you get ready, you do this. And I'm just talking. I'm just talking like this. I said, Father. Jonah says, Father, you love me and you love my dad. You love me and you love my dad. I thank you for Holy Spirit power. Thank you for Holy Spirit power and healing. And healing. And right now, in Jesus' name, I command Body be healed. Body be healed. All pain go. All pain go. He's starting to get it. Body be completely restored right now in the authority of Jesus Christ. He says it. Amen. And Dad thanks me, and that's cool. And I said, no, check it. Before, he could lift his arm about this high. And I was like, check it. And he's like, wow, yeah. He's going like here now. It's hardly any change at all. I can't really tell anything. I think he's being nice to me. So I said, okay, can we pray again? Can we go again? He's like, yeah, okay, we can go again. So we pray again. Lead Jonah. Jonah does it. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. He just repeats. Spirit of infirmity, let him go. Body be healed, full restoration, all pain go, whatever, you know, body be healed in Jesus' name. And Dad goes, whoa. And he goes from here, it's like straight out, a little bit more than Frankenstein. About there. He's like, there's no pain at all. That's cool. Jonah had an experience. All the other kids had an experience. That was fun. That's not the testimony. They leave dojo within minutes. Get in the car. Ask them. Ask them about this. Ask Julia about this. Julia gets a phone call from a childhood girlfriend that she was friends with, what, 35 years? Yeah, lifelong friends. This woman and her husband live in California. Her husband, his name is Rob, is a police officer. Rob is running around the precinct, the track at the precinct, and he collapses and has the Widowmaker heart attack, the big one, and dies. There's a bunch of cops there. They got the defibrillator. They call the ambulance, all the stuff. They shock him. They get him to the hospital. He comes back. They get him in ICU. He has got a tube down his throat. He is, what do they say, non-responsive. That's the word they used to use for brain dead, or they use now. We used to call it brain dead. We don't say that anymore. Non-responsive, and then it's been that way for like 3 weeks, right? When Julia gets the call, Rob has been on the thing, on the ventilator, non-responsive, not responding to pain, light, all that stuff, for 3 weeks. And Julia's friend has got to make some decisions. It's a horrible time. Right? And he's what? Still in his 40s or something, right? Yeah. So Julia says, well, Jonah just learned to pray for the sick. Could we pray for Rob? Mom, of course, says, sure. Jonah leads the family. They pray for this man in over the car phone. He's in California. They're over the phone in the car. And Jonah prays for him, probably the way I just taught him, because that's what he just heard 30 seconds ago. And he calls forth this man to be healed. And the dude wakes up. Yeah. Ask him about it. He comes out of a three-week non-responsive coma and is responding to, you know, squeeze right hand, yes, left hand, no, all that stuff. Kids do not get a junior, you know, Happy Meal size version of the Holy Spirit. I love activating children because they're not jaded and they'll just go after it. You can't even see the kingdom of God unless you come like a child. This is available to all of us. We just sang all those beautiful songs this morning, right? I'm a child of God. Do you believe it? Or are you an orphan of God? Yeah, I don't really know if I can trust him. Sometimes he shows up, sometimes he doesn't. You're just putting him on trial. He's not on trial, we are. And the enemy is all over that. The enemy comes in, reminds you, remember that time and that thing and what you did, and he's not going to listen to you now because of that thing. And you know what you're thinking. You know what's in your head. You know, you're like, Lord, when are you going to ever change this wicked heart? And he's never. That's never going to change. Lord doesn't change that way. But when you say, Lord, you have already changed this wicked heart. I thank you that I'm a new creation. You've given me a new heart. Not only a new heart, Lord, you've given me your heart. Thank you, Lord, that I can see things from your perspective now. Thank you, Lord, that my eyes are your eyes. You live in me. It makes you really happy. Thank you, Lord, that everywhere I go, you're going to go. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to touch this world today. Let's go give the devil a bad day. What's it going to be like? Lord, keep me focused. Show me every single person that needs your love. Show me what to say. Thank you, Lord, and I'll step out because I'm your kid, and I love being your kid in Jesus' name. And when you live your life that way, amazing things happen. This is teaching you how to fight. How do we fight? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not, you know, that it's fun, but not that's not fighting. Fighting is when there's an opportunity to be offended, I respond in love. When there's an opportunity to fight for my own, does not demand their own way. Opportunity to be irritable, but I'm going to not be irritable. Hard. In the natural, it's impossible. But when you know who you are and you believe it, and then you just put it right back on him. Lord, I am really frustrated with this situation right now. I really want to be irritable. But Lord, that person would never have done that to me if they knew who they were. I thank you, Lord, to show them who they really are and give me the words that I can speak who they really are in this situation. It changes you. Now I'm not irritable. Now I'm not hurt by that. I'm actually broken for that person. And I now have his heart, and it changes my mind. And you become the revenge of God. I call the revenge of God when you're in a situation that would normally have torqued you, would normally have set you on a negative path, and now that same thing happens to you, and instead you manifest Christ. You speak in love. You come in kindness. That's like the Lord say, you know, it says he's going to set a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That doesn't sound very cool. If I said, hey, let's go to lunch. Where should we go? Let's think about it. I know. Let's set a table in the presence of your enemies. Be like, that doesn't sound like fun at all. No. Because what he's going to do is he's going to poke the bear and he's going to be like, what you meant for evil? Look at my son go. Look at him go. See what he's doing? See what you meant for evil? Ha ha. Your plan worked, Lord. Your plan worked. Your plan to restore man back to your image, it worked. You pulled it off. You did it. And I just get to show people what that looks like. Do we have time to do about a 5-minute activation? Okay, 5. I'll be. I know. Okay, so what this is, you are going to find a friend, a partner, somebody you know. Get somebody you know. This is going to be fun. Yeah, that was easy, right? You guys are already snuggled up there. Okay, so what I put up here is this is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, what is love, right? You probably figure that out. Love is not jealous, boastful, proud, not rude, you know, all those things. Most of you probably already know these things, all right? I am going to give you 45 seconds. You're going to take turns. You're actually going to have to, like, get around and move and sit with somebody. So if you're apart, this is your time to clump up into little groups. Preferably someone you know. Let's do someone you know. Someone you're comfortable with, family member. It's actually more powerful when you do it that way. All right? Get somebody. All right, I'm going to give you 45 seconds. And this is what you're going to do. In your head, you're going to pray, you're going to say, Lord, you love this person. How do you see him? And then you can use all this as a brain starter, and you just speak it back. You just speak it back to him. Oh, I'm just so thankful for you the way that you are. You're just so faithful. You know, I don't see you get flustered. I just thank you so much for the way that you have shown faithfulness in our home and in our family. You know, whatever. You got 45 seconds total. You are going to manifest love right now. It is not about what you think or feel. You're asking the Lord to show you what he thinks and feels, and you're going to speak that love as a conduit of Holy Spirit through you into them. You will speak not your own words, but his words, and his words are always, always love. Always. It is always going to be positive, encouraging, all those things. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Not if you love me, you'll do what I say. See the difference? So we're not going to do the second one. We're going to do the first one. Okay? So, everybody ready? I'm getting my stopwatch out. I'll give you 45 seconds. And then you're going to change jobs, and I'll tell you when. All right? I'll tell you when. I'll even give you a little countdown. You got 45 seconds. All right, let me just pray over you. Let's just get an impartation. So, Father God, I thank you for your presence in this place. And I ask, Lord, that right now your Holy Spirit would rise in all of us. I thank you for your eyes. I thank you to break off the scales. I just feel like I hear this Lord say he's going to take the scales off your eyes right now, and you're going to see differently than you've ever seen. I thank you, Lord, for that to manifest right now in Jesus' name, that your love would splash on everybody in here. Jesus' name, come. Amen. All right, first person, get ready. 3, 2, 1, go. About halfway there. Okay, start wrapping it up. Okay, and stop. Okay, now we're going to change jobs. All right, other person, it's your turn to lead. 45 seconds. Go. About 10 seconds. Okay. Wrap that up. Now, I want you to get somebody that you don't know so well. And I love the wiping of the eyes. Find somebody you don't know so well. Go ahead, move around. Don't worry, it's not going to be the exact same thing. We're going to switch it up. As you're finding a new partner, what I'm training you to do, this is how you start. There you go. This is how you start living this way in the regular, organic, natural world out there. You start with encouraging words. To your wait staff, to the lady at the cash register, to the person behind you in line at Starbucks, at the bank, you say this in your head. Father, you love this guy behind me. What do you have for him? How do you see him? And then you just start. I cannot tell you how many times I never know anything what to say before I start. People say, Lord, tell me what to say and I'll say it. He's like, no, go start talking and I'll fill your mouth. It's like saying, Lord, give me the money, we'll give it to missions. He's like, no, give out of your need and maybe I'll backfill it, right? So that's what we're going to practice right now. I cannot tell you how many times I have said, you know, hey, I just feel like I hear the Lord say for you, having no idea what I'm going to say next. And by the second or third sentence, it is flowing and they are crying because it's him, not me, and it's super nerve-wracking. That's what you're going to try right now. Okay? So don't be scared. You're going to do the exact same thing. Your heart position is, Lord, you love this person. How do you see them? You can use any of these to get started, right? You might not know them so well. That's okay, because it's not about you. It's about the Lord. You're going to test my theory right now. All right? Okay, so you got 45 seconds. Decide who's going to start first. And go. About 10 seconds. Okay, start wrapping up. All right, and stop. Okay, we're going to switch jobs. Why does he make it so short? Because when you're in the Home Depot parking lot, you do not have 7 minutes. When you're standing in line at the bank, you got to hit this fast. This has got to be not 45 seconds, like 15 seconds. And then it starts to flow. You've got to get used to moving fast on this, hitting fast. All right, so other person, same thing. Heart prayer is, Lord, you love this person. You love everyone I'm going to see today. What do you have for them? And then open your mouth and he'll fill it. Go. Ten seconds. Okay, wrap it up. All right, how many of you all said, wow, stuff came out of me that I don't know what that was. I don't know where it came from. Did anybody have that experience? It's actually really, really fun. Really fun, right? This Christian life is so much more fun than they told me. It's really exciting. And we have an opportunity to do this every day, everywhere we go. So thank you, Pastor Ricardo.
So good. Right. Put your hands together.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
That's so good. Thank you, Scott.